Ciao ragazzi, my name is Anthony and it is an absolute pleasure to be back here on the microphone, looking at a screen right here, home into worldwide. And it is an even bigger pleasure to be able to welcome back to the channel for the first time in what feels like way too long. It is Moman, it's Mo, now known as Judge Mo, but we will always know you as Mo. Mo, say hello to the people. Say hello to the people. What I'm going to do is I've accidentally left my TV on in the other room. I can hear it echoing. I'll be back in 10 seconds. Welcome home.
Yeah, hello, people. Welcome to Inter Worldwide. Hit that like button before you... Listen, people, hit that like button. You come into the stream, you pay your rent, you hit that like button, support that channel, share this on your media. We are back. I'm back with the man himself, Anthony, of course. We're talking Inter. We're talking Serie A. Yes, I've been watching Inter. You guys think I'm not watching, but I'm watching everything. Everything. And I have a lot of opinions. But yes, yes. But listen, people, 15 people here. Hit that like button, people. Subscribe to the channel if you're new, of course. Share this on your socials. Come on, people. Come on. Do it for us.
Everyone's happy to see you, man. I mean, Interista's happy to see you. Matt Pickham is happy to see you. You've got some people from your side, and I knew we'd get some trickle from your side. The judge is corrupt. Wissam is here as well. Hello. We've got Massimo, other channel members. Mattia, very happy to see you. So is Indro Hari and Anthony as well. Guys, before we get started on the important stuff, unless you live under a rock, make sure you go and follow our brother, Mo, who is making absolute waves at his Footy Judge Mo channel. Absolutely fantastic. His networking skills are just A1. The way he connects people and the way that he's able to host shows, it's unique. It's unique. But you know why it's unique as well? Don't think I'm here just going to big gas him up, bro. Just remember, this is Mo's home. This is the Mo that I know. This is the real Mo. Will the real Mo please stand up? Match reaction, Mo. Watch along, Mo. I'll never forget. I was driving to work that 3-3 Barcelona game, man. It was the most. It was one of the best forms of Inter commentary I've ever heard in my whole life. So, Mo, it's good to have you back, man.
Yeah,
so,
man, I miss it.
I just wanted to say one thing. Because I'm just curious, what do you miss most about
watch along
Serie A?
Watch along. I watch Serie A, but I watch a lot of games, of course, because I don't have time. But I watch every Inter game, of course. It's the priority, of course, because I'm at the end, I'm a football fan, right? And we're doing this as football fans. We aren't doing this as anything. I'm just a football fan. It's the watch-alongs, to be honest.
Yeah.
Watch-alongs on Inter Worldwide, you know why? Because you connect to the people. The people that stay with me when I do watch-alongs, like I feel I'm watching the game with my guys. You know the difference? Like I've seen a lot of people in the Premier League are asking me to do watch-alongs on the channel and stuff like that. But I'm like, I don't know. Like I feel like I'm a commentator instead of just a fan. When you do Inter, I'm a fan. You know, I don't support any other club. I'm not one of these guys. Yeah, I support Inter, but I support this guy or I support that guy. I actually don't support any club in the other than one club, of course, which is Al Ahly in Egypt. Since I grew up in that club, actually, as a kid. So that's the only club I support with Inter. But yeah, the watch-alongs, just nuts. It's absolutely nuts, bro. Like just. I miss them. I wish I can do them. Might do one Friday. It depends, to be honest. You know how exhausting it is, but I might do one this Friday for Genoa. But like I'm afraid to do one and then we just don't get a positive result.
Since you've started doing the whole English covering the EPL content creation, have you found yourself gearing a little bit emotionally towards a side, or is it really easy to stay? It's so easy to stay neutral in that league, isn't it? If you've got no dedication.
Never, bro. It's never. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, people say, yo, you're a secret Arsenal fan. I'm like, come on, I'm not. You're a secret Chelsea fan. Just because the guys that support Premier League are completely different than the Serie A people for a couple of reasons. The number one is that they are very protective of their club. We are more objective in Serie A. Like, we would have, what's the guy's name that we used to do Juventus with? The very, very good guy that has a good channel. What's his name? Alberto from UVcast TV. We used to sit, all of us, and we used to be objective about each other's teams. It's very hard for Premier League people to be objective. It's very, very hard. Like, it's impossible. Like, for example, I would just praise a team from A, right, to Y. And then I would criticize the Z of the club. You're a hater. You're this, you're that. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Like, to be honest, it's very different. I'm not drawn to a team in the Premier League at all. Like, I always go for the underdogs. Like, this season, I want Arsenal or Liverpool to win the league just because Man City have been dominating for 3 seasons. If Man City don't win it this year, I'll be with Man City next. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just always the underdog story is the nice story. That's it.
Fair enough. Thank you so much, Rosemary, for the donation. We appreciate it. And we all miss Mo a lot. And we miss hearing his punditry on Serie A on this channel. So without further ado, nice little 6-minute introduction. It's great to be here talking to you from the summit. I mean, I'm going to give you the microphone just freelance for a little bit. This is the Serie A table as it sits 2 games before the halfway point. So unless it's a complete capitulation from Inter in the next 2 games, we should finish as winter break at the top. But that means very little. Mo, Serie A so far for you this season?
You know what? What is astonishing about Serie A is not that Inter are doing well, right? It's how the fuck Juventus are 4 points behind us. Like, how on earth a team with 34 plus goal differential is just 4 points ahead of a team with 15 plus goal differential? It's ridiculous.
One game a week. One game a week for Allegri. He loves
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what every time I'm looking at this, and I've had this question from a lot of people, like, how come your 34 goal differential and you're racking all these freaking points? We are on course for a Centurion. This rate, 17 games, 44 points. If we win the next 2 games, we're 50 points halfway through the season. That means we're on course for a Centurion. How come Juventus are 4 points behind us? As for Inter, though, since we're talking about Inter, to be honest, it's this is one of the easiest seasons I have watched Inter in a long, long time. Like, you know, I'm getting this Barcelona with Messi feeling of 2009 or 2012. Do you know that feeling? We are going to every game knowing that even with hurdles, even with adversity, we will win the game. We wouldn't. The best team against Napoli. We were in the best team against Lazio. But I was watching both games. I would like freaking win this game. We have the quality. We have the structure. We have the system to come out as winners in these games. It's as simple as that. So that's the thing that I'm noticing about Inter. We'll talk a little bit about the tactics and what I like and what I don't like about the team. But at the moment, there is no better team in the world other than Bayer Leverkusen, if I'm not mistaken. They haven't lost a game in the Bundesliga. I don't watch a lot of the Bundesliga, of course. But I don't think there is a team that is as effective as Inter in the world, especially in the league, of course. 34 goal differential is a no joke. It's a no joke. I don't think I've seen this ever in my life. Even Bayern Munich, I'm not sure. Bayern Munich have 34, Bayer Leverkusen have 34, so they are similar to us. That's the Bundesliga. I haven't seen a team cruise with ease in Serie A, even when they aren't the best team on the pitch, like Inter this year. I'm not sure if you have. 25 years supporting Inter, I've never seen it like this, ever.
Well, I guess you could argue that last season Napoli was doing what we did right now, except they didn't have a chase packer. I mean, we were the chasers up until January, and we beat them first game in January, and then we decided to turn on the shit and it was lost from there. So maybe we should have another conversation in about a month's time, 3 weeks' time, and see where the next 3 or 4 fixtures take us. I mean, I fancy us against Genoa and Verona, but at the same time, I can't see Allegri and his tactics really succumbing to many sides in this league. And when they do, they usually find a way to score almost straight away. It's almost like Allegri knows the exact millimeter pinpoint of where his tactical strengths meet his luck. And luck is just where preparation meets opportunity. And he knows how to chase one goal and he knows how to defend one goal. So my question to you, Mo, is are Inter going to be able to go off and fight off this challenge from Juve until the end of this season?
Yeah. I believe that every time I'm watching Juventus, they're struggling. One of the things about this Juventus team, which is something that people don't speak about, is that they lack quality. They lack individual brilliance. They lack quality. I don't believe in the Chiesa hype. I never believed in him. I don't think he's a top player. I believe Vlahovic is an overrated forward. He's a good forward. Weston McKennie isn't great. Adrian Rabiot is a good player, but he isn't top. Like, if you look at this, if this Juventus team, the only X factor in their team is Bremer. Mm. Everybody else isn't. While Inter have many X factors, starting from DeMarco as a left-footed wing back in Serie A. They don't. So I am not seeing this Juventus team continuing. I'm actually worried about Inter if we get far in the Champions League. I'm actually worried about that. We're going to come to this. The bench for this Inter, the squad isn't the best. Like, it looks amazing. It looks like we have two teams on paper. But there is a little bit of the players on that come from the bench don't seem like they're putting 100%. Of course, with Juan Cuadrado's injury now, Cuadrado's injured. But yeah, Lautaro Martinez, he's going to come back in 6 days. That's Lautaro. I'm not sure if he's going to play the Genoa. I don't think so. I think he's going to rest him for Genoa. But yeah, no. that's what it is, to be honest. But Juventus, bro, I'm just going to tell you, if Juventus win this league, it's a disaster. It's a disaster for Serie A. It's a disaster for Serie A. It's not a disaster for Inter, by the way. It will take Serie A back. Steps back. Like, because you cannot have a team like Inter lose the league. Like, imagine if Napoli lost the league last year. That would be weird.
Yeah, bro. I really hope that we can continue to do the business in Serie A, because now, let's touch quickly on the, before we go into the rest of these sides, because I want to hear a little bit from you as well. The elimination to Bologna in the Coppa Italia, a blessing in disguise, yeah?
No. I was so mad. My wife was watching the game, and she's like, why are you so upset?
That's what mine said to me on my honeymoon as well. She actually said, she goes, Anthony, last night you said you didn't care about this game. I looked at her and I went, I lied.
I was so upset. I had a stream after on the Premier League, because the Premier League had, I think there is a Liverpool game or something. I can't remember. But in my opinion, that was, I know people don't want to say negatives, but I'm sorry, bro. Inzaghi has to be criticized for this. What are you doing, bro? Same as the Real Sociedad game. What are you doing? What are you doing in the Benfica game? Why are you throwing the game away like this? Why are you 1-1 and you're putting 9 players ahead of the ball? Why? Why is the tactics about it? You already played extra time. You win 1-0 ahead, just freaking defend. To be honest, I got so upset. This is a cup. We don't have anybody in our side. We don't have a Napoli. We don't have Juventus. We have Fiorentina and freaking weak-ass Milan. We should have won this game and went ahead to the final. And now we're talking about a one game off. He threw away a cup for no reason. For no reason.
So what do you say to the fans that just say, like, we've won it back to back? Don't stress about it. We just need to treat every Serie A game like a final.
You haven't been an Inter fan for a while. You didn't live before we won trophies in 2006 or 2007. You've only been an Inter fan winning a treble and then winning the league lately and winning the cup. You haven't seen Inter not win. Have you lived through the Banter era? Every single trophy I won it in the club. What are you talking about? The fans that don't want trophies are fans that don't know the value, that don't know that everybody goes into dips. Look at Milan. Have you lived through the Banter era? Do you know that we years without Champions League and without winning a freaking trophy? This is an easy cup.
How seriously are you treating the Super Cup in Saudi Arabia?
Now, the Super Cup for me is a friendly thing in Saudi Arabia. Like, I'm talking about the Cup, the Champions League, the league. Well, it's a good trophy, right? But in my opinion, it's played in Saudi Arabia. It's two games. You know what I mean? It's two games. We need to win it. Big up, Marcel. Thank you so much for tuning in, my man. We need to win it But I wouldn't be upset if we lost it. This is the one thing that I'm like, oh, who cares? It's a friendly. Saudi Arabia paid some money to host it there. Who cares, bro? Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't care about a two-game competition. This Coppa Italia is Fiorentina. You play quarterfinal, you play semifinal, and then you play a final. Just give me a break. You should have freaking won the freaking game.
It's not really about not winning it because Bologna is really good under Thiago Motta. It's the manner. Like, you score a goal in extra time and the way you conceded back-to-back, like, it made me physically sick. It made me sick. I was not caring about the result up until we conceded the first goal. When we conceded the first goal, I went, this team knows how to make a loss carry into the dressing room and after that, which is why I was surprised and happy with the Lecce result. So we need to move on from this and we need to spank the shit out of Genoa, Verona, and just keep winning every single game, Mo. Because let's face it, Milan isn't going to catch us. They're not good enough. Bologna and Fiorentina will never sustain a title race for as long as I'll be alive, to be honest. And Roma and Napoli and the rest are just are not in the competition this season. We need to ward off Terrorismo, Allegri. There's no competition in Serie A, Mo.
No, but it's Juventus, though. It's always that. Juventus have Roma at home, they have Salernitana away, and then they have Sassuolo, and then they have Lecce. They can win all these games.
Roma always roll over and die for Juventus. Yeah, we expect that game to end 2-0.
They're bitches for Juventus. Big time. Really, really. Like,
quick comments from you about anybody else. Anybody else? You can talk about how Milan are shit if you don't think it's feasible.
No, the astonishing one for me is
Argentina, whatever.
The astonishing one for me isn't AC Milan. The astonishing one for me is Napoli. What the heck happened?
Rudy Garcia. Worst title defense I've seen in a long time, man.
Rudy Garcia. Because I have Mohamed Salah who comes on my channel. He's a Napoli fan. His family's from Napoli. And Rudy Garcia, then Mazzarri. Who runs this club? My nephew? Like, what is this? Seriously, what is this? In my opinion, Conte isn't coming to the middle of the season to Milan. It doesn't matter. People.
He's holding out for Juve or he's continuing his retirement. He's having fun.
Milan? Okay, forget about. Okay, so Napoli. Just the comment on Napoli is there's so much talent. The structure, when someone just comes into the house and completely destroy it, Rudy Garcia is the guy. Like, if you wanted someone to destroy the house, you get a tenant that will destroy the house that you cannot rent it to anybody else. Lobotka's done. Nguisa's done. Zelensky is going to leave. Kvaratskhelia, his value went down by 50%. Osimhen, his value went down. They're playing Politano on the right side. I can't believe that I opened my TV at some point, and I see Juan Jesus playing as a center back in 2023, almost 2024 for Napoli. What is this, 2013?
That's a Scudetto winning center back right there, Juan Jesus.
I know, but this is 2023. A defender, like a title defender. Gabriel Juan Jesus, what is this? 2013 Inter, 2014 Inter? What is this? Give me a break. For Milan, though, the most overhyped team. Probably. Oh my God, we did this to ourselves. Radu did this. Radu is the one who did this. This Milan team should have been in the mud until this moment. It's Stefan Radu who did this. Literally. This Milan team with Ruben Loftus-Cheek and the guy that don't know his name that plays in the middle until now, I don't know, I can't pronounce his name, Reinder or whatever. Oh my God, bro. Olivier Giroud, striker, 2024.
Yeah, man. But at the end of the day, they're suffering the losses for it now. We can bury those ghosts this season. I can bury that season just by winning it this season, man. It's just, I still have this thing in the back of my head that tells me that we still have a way to F it up. We still have a way to screw it up. And I think a big part of it comes down to who we have on the bench when we look at it attack-wise. But we'll get to that soon. And you just let me know if you need to head off because I know it's been a long day for you. But I'm going to move along.
I'm good for it. I'm good.
Cool. Did you want to talk about any other club on the table?
Yeah, Bologna, Thiago Motta.
Go for it.
He's going to go for the Premier League after this.
Who's he going to coach in the Premier League?
If De Zerbi leaves, he might go and coach Brighton.
You think he'll do well?
Yeah, he'll do very, very well.
Yeah.
What he's doing with Bologna is being noticed, right? Not a lot of people watch Serie A, but you can't take Bologna and be fourth in the league. That's unheard of, right? That doesn't happen normally. With the squad that I can't name four players in. I actually can't. Only Silvestri as a bench right back. Like, I actually can't. Like, the first time I actually watched the guy play, the guy that with the big hair, the very good player in the Zexis. Whatever. Yeah, it is when he played against us, actually.
Oh, really? Was that the first time you've seen him play?
Yes, the first time I've seen the guy play.
Cool.
Like I've seen clips circling around Twitter, but I haven't seen the guy play. So,
Fair enough. Listen.
It's ridiculous what he's doing. It's absolutely nuts. You cannot imagine it. I've never imagined that. No, Mattia, De Zerbi is gonna coach Napoli, and you heard it here first. De Zerbi is gonna go to Napoli next season. Most likely, he's gonna go back to Serie A. He's gonna coach Napoli. He's gonna get a big box from De Laurentiis, and because it suits the players he has. It does suit the way he wants to play football, in my opinion.
Who's going to coach Milan when Pioli leaves?
I actually have no idea who's in the market, actually, at the moment. They might go for a foreign coach, but I actually have no idea. I actually don't know. But I'm thinking that... Do you wonder, is Pioli already leaving? Is that done?
I don't know. I don't talk to enough Milan fans.
I actually think he's staying.
Maybe because it all comes down to their ownership, because he's a proper yes man. He's the yes man of all yes men. Since they got rid of Maldini and everything like that, he's just nodding his head and going along with the ride. He knows he got lucky with that Scudetto.
The one that I want to see in a bigger club is Dionetti. Like, I want to see the guy coach a bigger club, to be honest with you, the guy that coaches a solo. He changed his style of play a little bit this season, but I believe he can do well with better players.
Yeah,
I believe so. He might go to Milan as well. That's what I believe can happen, to be honest. I think the one that might like take a step further as well is the guy, what's his name? Italiano. So Vincenzo Italiano might take a step up from Fiorentina because he's flirting with Europe. You know what I mean? Like, he almost won a trophy last year. Should have won it, to be honest. He capitulated at the end, but I think... But these are candidates, but I actually don't think Pioli will leave. He has enough credits in the bank.
I think you're going to see a merry-go-round in Serie A. Maybe not a merry-go-round to so to speak, but Maurizio Sarri looks like he dislikes football more than any manager on the planet. He's leaving soon. Mourinho knows that he's running out of time to cash in on his one or two big contracts that he has left. And he can still leave Roma at the end of this season, finishing fifth or sixth, and still walk into a Premier League contract. He's obviously not going to walk into a title-winning team, but he can still walk into England, get a Premier League contract, even walk back into Spain and get a contract. So there's going to be spots available at some of these clubs, man.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. I've heard it today. Alex on my stream said that he would like Mourinho to come for Chelsea for a season, just to set people straight, to put people on the rails. And I'm like, this is crazy, bro. Crazy. Mourinho plays one of the shittiest footballs in the history now at the moment. The guy, it's past him, bro. Every time I'm watching Roma, I'm like, I'm about to like throw up, you know?
It's just not the same crop of athletes anymore for Mourinho to make his style work. You can't just walk into Chelsea and make men out of those boys at Stamford Bridge. And this is coming from someone who watches every second Chelsea game here and there. Bro, last week I was just sitting there randomly watching Chelsea and my wife walks in and goes, this is the second time I've watched Chelsea and they look absolutely horrible. I go, it's really bad, man. It's really, really embarrassing.
They aren't as bad as what you think. But anyway, this is for a different... Listen, I spent an hour talking about Chelsea for just like...
For sure.
Chelsea aren't bad, but Mourinho, I don't think he goes to a top club. It's done. It's over.
Yeah, man. Let's move on from this ladder. These are our results so far this season in both important competitions. You can find our table in the bottom right, where we finished second in our group behind Sociedad, therefore effectively multiplying the difficulty of our draw. I know there's no such thing as an easy draw in the Champions League.
But no, there is an easy draw.
No. I said there's no such thing as an easier draw. That's an easy draw, but there's definitely such thing as an easier draw. And we avoided an easier draw.
This was one of the easiest draws in the history of the round of 16s of the Champions League. Did you see the second teams?
They weren't great. We were easily the best of the bunch.
They were absolutely atrocious. Only us and PSG.
But we would have drawn. We would have drawn PSG. Don't you see how the draw?
No, we wouldn't. I promise you, we wouldn't. We would have gotten PSV. We would have gotten Copenhagen. No, we would not. I promise. This is one of the. Listen, you know what? We went last year and we faced Benfica in the round of 16. We should have finished top of the group. We absolutely. I don't know. You tell me. Why did we throw this Champions League campaign in terms of top of the group? Why did he make 10 like I was actually doing a stream after this and people asked me who are these players? People said we had no idea that this guy Klassen plays for Inter. Some of the names are unknown for other people. We changed 10 players for Benfica and 6 for Real Sociedad. What was he thinking?
He was thinking that he wants this Scudetto more than he wants another child in the real world. So this is how important it is to him. That's why he can't bomb it, man. But look, we digress. Either or, we come up against Atletico Madrid. I really want to hear about how you think this is a good or a bad time for us. I don't think we're going to get pumped. I know it doesn't suit us tactically, but enough of this. We're going to get pumped.
Forget tactically.
We've got much better players than Atletico Madrid.
No, we don't. I think we do. Forget, okay, maybe individually. For Atletico Madrid, remember Manchester City played Atletico Madrid, won 1-0 at the Etihad, went away to hell, right? At Atletico Madrid in the Wanda Metropolitana, 0-0. Atletico Madrid will make it hell. And Atletico Madrid, by the way, third in La Liga, playing very well. Defending well, Griezmann is putting numbers and everything. The problem, the difference between us and Atletico Madrid is that for some reason, Atletico Madrid in the Champions League, when they play like men. We do not play our style in the Champions League. We adapt. We adapt to other teams. But in my, like, listen, we have a chance, but us playing at home first, it's not great, but I believe that Inter with a lot of clean sheets, we can keep clean sheets. We are good at that. But I'm not sure how we're going to score against Atletico Madrid.
It's not going to be easy, but yeah, they're third in La Liga. We're first in Serie A. I know that Griezmann has been firing on all fronts. I know this is clearly Alvaro Morata's best club in the buffet of clubs that he's had to choose from in his career. But I would agree with you, playing in Madrid in the second leg is not ideal. But at the same time, we cannot fear anybody. I know that Simeone can make men out of boys.
Exactly. That's the problem.
We need to go through, bro. We need to go through because the round of 16 just looks so much shitter on paper than quarterfinals. Quarterfinals, you can still justify the, we had a good run sort of thing.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate you, Steve. Thank you so much for the support of the channel, people. Your support, of course, is appreciated for the channel. Thank you so much. Like the video, 35 people here. That's absolutely great numbers at this time of the day. So hit that like button, people, because it means a lot to us. Thank you so much. Favor Inter home leg, Steve is saying. I favor Inter home leg 2-1, Atletico Madrid 2-1 at the Wanda. Yeah, the problem is, you're telling me that Inter will score 3 goals against Atletico Madrid. And you're telling me that Atletico Madrid will score 3 goals against this mighty defensive in Inter. Like, both teams have had one of the best defenses. Like, Atletico Madrid, they're going to make it tough, to be honest.
With no away goals rule, Inter really do need to get a goal in that first leg, though. We really need to score at home at the San Siro.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, 100%. We have to score some goals, but yeah, absolutely. Mo, is this Arsenal team really good or just Arsenal? No, Arsenal are being really, really good. to be honest, Indrahari, Arsenal have stepped up in terms of maturity. Yes, they haven't been playing sensational football, but you can just tell me, Declan Rice is playing very well. This is what I watch, like, daily, right? Bukayo Saka is playing well. Martinelli isn't. The difference is they have a defender that is absolutely playing out of this world, which is William Saliba. He is reading the game very well. He is anticipating. He's intercepting. He's been very good. As a team, they are good. I believe we are a better team. We have more experience than them, of course, in the Champions League. But I didn't want to, I wanted to face them just because of the other teams. Because I would rather face Arsenal than, I'm going to get to the Super Chat as well. I would rather face Arsenal than facing Atletico, Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, or Man City. But I would rather face Dortmund, of course, and Barcelona at the moment than facing Arsenal. But Arsenal are a good team. You can be top of the Premier League. Like, we talk about Inter, 44 points after 17 games. Arsenal as well are 42 points after 18 games. That's not easy to get. With injuries as well. Anthony here is saying, I still think that you guys can still make a run despite finishing second in the group. As for us at Milan, I think the only way that Pioli stays if he wins a trophy and finishes top four. Listen, I guarantee you, Anthony, that you'll finish top four. This league is weak this year. Napoli is weak. Roma are weak. Lazio aren't even focused in the league, like, at all. Like, there is no reason for me to believe that Milan will finish outside of the top four at all, by the way. Like, at any point, it doesn't matter how weak Milan are, I believe they are actually going to finish in the top four. Like, Bologna, who knows if they're going to stay there or not, right? But Milan will stay there. And I think him finishing top four and getting Champions League will guarantee him another year, even if he doesn't win a trophy. But I believe you can win the cup as well.
Great comments from Strasbourg, Steve. We're going to get to some of these MVP besides Lautaro. I've actually got a few slides left, and they actually are grouped together by position. So we'll go with goalkeeper, defense, midfield, and attack after that. And we're going to get to Bishek as well. And you're also, it looks like you're a Lazio fan as well.
He's a Newcastle, Lazio, and
Strasbourg, clearly. Yeah. Matt Pickham, overall, the league is weaker as a whole. I don't think Bologna anything special, but everyone else sucks mid-table, so they are standing out. I think so as well. Arsenal on top of the league, and they only have 40 points.
Well, Marcel, wait until tomorrow.
I'm welcoming all the Prem heads into this chat here today. All right. This is one that we can't spend too much time on because we'll be here for a while again. I mean, like, it's ransacking level of thievery that we've done. But I'm going to let Mo talk about it for a little bit because we all know that football is full of complexities. It's full of intricacies. You don't just make a run in the Champions League with Ajax and then make one with Inter and then all of a sudden turn it into the worst goalkeeper in English football history. Mo, in the most efficient, short, logical way possible, how much did Inter win in the Soma versus Onana deal? Without digressing too much into how Onana has been performing like shit.
We didn't progress. It's for some reason Yann Sommer is playing well. He isn't Onana with his feet, but he's playing well. He's getting clean sheets, and we aren't needing Onana at the moment. We aren't needing Onana's footwork or playing with the feet like what he did against Man City or did against Porto or Benfica. Like, we don't need that. But we need the money. I don't think we use the money, so who gives a shit? Like, for me, as a football fan, the money came to the club, and yeah, we didn't sell somebody. But in my opinion, you guys forget that Onana is 27. Yes, we sold Onana, but how long would Yann Sommer be at the goalkeeper? We'll need to invest in another goalkeeper soon. I actually did want Onana to go. I felt we actually sold him for a really cheap price for what he offered last year. Yes, he isn't performing this year for Man United, but who does? Like, who is performing for Man United? Like, you cannot just blame the guy. He was one of the best goalkeepers statistically and on the eye last year. You don't go to the Champions League final last year, and we didn't do that last push for the Champions League spots without Onana, who's a big part of it. And everybody who denies that, you just want to sleep well at night. you really just want to sleep well at night. Onana was a big factor of Inter last year. Jan Sommer has been great. But Jan Sommer, if I'm not mistaken, is 34, isn't he?
Yep, and Matt Pickham says it perfectly. Sommer is just solid as a standalone goalkeeper. This is what Handanovic was like in 2016. So it's been years since we've had this consistent shot stopper. Dom Bepe, after he hung up the call with Man United, we got them MFers. Look, I have no doubt that Bepe did say something similar to that sense when we had that deal on the table. But Mo, any chance that Onana comes back?
No.
Nah.
It's never happening.
He'll have to stick it out. It's
never happening because he has been performing lately. Yeah, he made a mistake. Yeah.
I've actually noticed his form has got he's gotten a lot better the last month.
Yeah, he made a mistake in the Villa game.
Yeah.
But again, when this guy gets his confidence back and the team gets better structure, I think he's going to be, again, one of the good goalkeepers, to be honest.
Yeah, man. Starting in front of Harry Maguire and Johnny Evans is never going to be too easy.
Well, if Johnny Evans, what is this, 2011 well. Man United? It's literally 2011.
And as we're saying that right now, Johnny Evans was still the best centre-back in a 3-2 loss against Villa and saved them the game in the 81st
show,
minute. Bro.
Show me alive. You're like, what is this, bro?
Unbelievable. From there, from one shitty club's defence to our very rock-solid-looking defence, in what world did you think Benji Pavard would get injured and Jan Bishek would make it hard for Benji Pavard to integrate himself back up into a starting 11, Mo?
Wallahi, I saw it in the friendly games before the season. And I was with Sharma once, and Sharma said, I'm not sold on Bishek. And I'm like, how? He's quick, controls the ball, really young, very big guy. So why not build this guy to be another Bastoni?
Well, looking at the selections that we have now, Pavard is about 70 to 80% fit. And De Vrij is about 90% fit. We've got every single centre-back now. We've got Bastoni, De Vrij, Acerbi, Bishek, Pavard, and we've got Matteo Darmian, Carlos Augusto, and Federico Di Marco. We have a big, 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 big selection of centre-backs now, Mo. And this is really going to be our foundation going into this season. I know we're scoring good goals. I know we're scoring good amounts. I know our midfield gets creative at the best of times. But this is where it's going to be at for us if we are going to seriously make a run at trophies this season. So microphone over to you to talk about what looks to be a very deep defense.
I'm impressed. The reason why I'm impressed, because there are Bastoni, Pavard, who's 27, Bisic, who's 23. You can go forward with these guys. You only need one more, to be honest. The guy is great, Bisic. He's fantastic. He's absolutely amazing. Yeah, he's learning the game, blah, blah, blah. He's fantastic. Pavard is a great guy. He's a great player. He isn't top-notch, right? He was never a top-notch player, Pavard. But for Inter and Serie A, he's amazing, right, Pavard? Do I play Pavard and bench Bisic? I don't know. I actually don't know.
It's going to be a luxury slash problem that you'd love to have if you're Inzaghi. I mean,
yeah, the problem is Bisic isn't 20. Mm. He needs game time. He's 23. If you're going to rely on this guy for the next 6-7 years, right, he will need to be given time. He isn't like Bastoni when he came to Inter. He was 20 years old. You can bench at 20 years old, make him learn, earn minutes. At 23 years old, Bisic should not be sitting on the bench. It's either you're good enough to play for Inter or you're not.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we sell the guy. And in my opinion, if we're going to keep Pavard, we play Bisic, we sell him for 50 million at the end of the season and we move on.
Well, it looks to be the case. Like, we've actually got some assets at the moment that will really fetch us something very, very nice. I'm talking about the likes of Dumfries that came in for 12.5 million and might get 40. Even Hakan, who we'll get to in the midfield sense. People need to remember, Hakan Çalhanoğlu has a book value of 35 plus million. And that's if he goes to a team outside of the Arabs at the moment. You could make a plus 40 million plus Valenza on Hakan. People forget that. People forget he was here for free.
Why are you talking about Hakan being sold? I don't get it.
Because it came up when you just said sell Bisek for 50. And that's what triggered. I'm like, there are a whole bunch of players in this team that were bought for scraps that their book value is now worth double what they were worth when they came to the club. And it's a credit to the directors. Who in this world, when we actually got Hakan, you might say you. I'm a big fan of him now. But we were bantered when we signed him. If you fast forwarded and said, not only did you not win the title, but the guy's worth 40 million on your books at the moment, you'd ask how? how and why. And then you'd look at his performances, you'd look at his style of play in this team, you'd look at the impact that he's had in multiple cup competitions. The same way, whether people want to admit it or not, Denzel Dumfries is an impactful player. Technically, he sucks ass. Then why a Premier League team's going to come and bid $35 million for him? Because he's impactful. Just like I said it a year and a half ago, you start this guy in a World Cup, you start this guy in the Champions League, all you need to do is make the right impression 2-3 times, and the football world will do the rest. Mo, I'll be back in 60 seconds. You can take
no,
the mic.
No, no. Like, Hakan Çalhanoğlu, I don't think Inter should sell Hakan. I don't think Inter should sell anyone, right? The problem with the Bissek Pavard situation is that if Bissek doesn't play, you hinder his development, right? 23 years old. And if you don't play Pavard, you literally just wasted the money. And both of them are really, really good. So I'm not sure how. But we have Champions League, we have the league. So I think there is enough minutes for both of them to play. In my opinion, the problem is, in the midfield, we have no replacement for Hakan. Even this guy, Aslani, who I thought he would be way better than this, isn't playing up to the level. And that's something that you need to think of, to be honest. Because what are we going to do if Hakan gets injured, God forbid, or Hakan needs a rest or something? We need a decent replacement. That was Hakan for Brozovic. So Hakan used to play that position if Brozovic is injured, right? But now there is nobody. You cannot play Barella there. You can play Aslani, who's not up to the level. That's a big problem. Like Fratesi for Barella. Even like Fratesi can play both sides. We have Sensi, who can't play that position, but can play the eight. It's a big problem. We have that Hakan Çalhanoğlu is one of our better players this season. He's one of the best midfielders in the world. Statistically, it says that on the eye. It says that the guy tackles, creates chances, the guy plays good football, the guy moves forward, progressive passing, carries, scores free kick, takes corners, does everything on the ball. The problem is we don't have a good replacement. Hakan was the replacement for Brozovic. Now we don't have a replacement. It's going to be Aslani, who I had a big, big hopes for the guy because of his touch, because of the way he plays football. But for some reason, again, we are falling into this trap. If a player like Aslani, who isn't young, is not getting enough minutes, Aslani is 21. He isn't getting enough minutes. We are hindering his development because Inzaghi doesn't like him. Big problem. So Hakan this is why we need another Hakan now in the team. Since Hakan is being the regista for the team, you need the Gundogan. The Hakan. You need the guy that can play the eight, but can switch to play the six when the six gets injured or needs a rest or suspended or whatever. We don't have that guy. We only have one of them, which is now our main number six, our main regista. It's Hakan Çalhanoğlu. Aslani isn't good enough. This guy, Klassen, isn't even a football player. I saw him at Ajax. He wasn't a football player. He shouldn't be playing for Inter.
Just here for the holiday, man. He's here for the holiday.
I have no idea. He paid somebody. They shared the agent fee. Him and Pepe Marotta or Inzaghi got a payment under the table. Someone got made money of this thing, right? Like, he's just there for vibes. So he isn't a player for Inter. I don't consider him a player. Christian Aslani, biggest disappointment at Inter. Biggest disappointment.
It has not been good, has it?
It's not. It's ridiculous.
From the moment he did not square that pass to Robin Gosens, it was written in the stars.
However,
it was written.
Can I remind you of something? Tonali's first season at Milan was an absolute abomination. What happened second season? He played well, right? And now he's sold for $70 million. Yes, man. Yes, my man. Hit that like button then when you guys join. How many likes are we on? I'm not sure. How many likes? Are we guys serious?
Probably like, let me guess, 15, 20?
23 likes, and we have over 30 people here. So hit that like button, people. Come on. So in my opinion, I don't believe in this. Christian Aslani is bad. It hasn't worked out. But you see the talent. The touch is there. The movement is there. The one that wants to get on the ball all the time. Do you know the one that is surprising me the most in this team? It's Fratesi. How can a professional football player play a whole game in the midfield and pass 8 passes? How's that even possible? That's not even possible. Like, if you try this as a football player, you won't succeed.
He hasn't been good, man. And I know it's the lack of minutes that's contributing to this, because when you play nonstop for a team like Sassuolo with no pressure, everything looks good because nothing really looks bad. But when you play for Inter and your minutes are cut, everything is magnified. Everything is watched. It's eagle eye level stuff. And at the moment for Fratesi, every time he's given a minute, he's basically under the same sort of metric as Aslani. Everything you do is going to be watched and scrutinized right down to a T. He needs more minutes, but at the same time, Inzaghi is not going to change this trio unless someone's injured. He's not going to change it. Inzaghi has found exactly what works for him.
I'm checking something, right? I'm checking something about Fratesi. I'm checking the number of passes per game per 90 minutes, right? For Fratesi this year versus Fratesi last year.
Mm.
Because it doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't. In my head, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm checking the passing, right?
Interesting. Fratesi is simply a roadrunner. He never was the guy that did the passes here and there, even in Sassuolo. Look, I don't think that's the case, to be honest. Like, Mo's going to check this out for us now. I don't think that all is lost with Aslani yet. He could still come good. I don't think all is lost yet, but he's really going to need to pick up his game sooner rather than later, because we're in a results-orientated business in this modern football day more than any other year I can remember. Patience is not a virtue. It really isn't.
But this guy Fratesi is a starter for the Italian national. It tells you how bad Italy's football is now at the moment, how far down the Italian football went. But Fratesi starts for Italy all the time. The guy, every time he starts for Inter, yes, he runs a lot. Like, he looks like the bunny there, the Barella, but with more energy even. Mm. But he doesn't. My problem with Fratesi is that he doesn't want the ball.
Yeah.
I don't understand this. How is this guy playing for Inter? Like, he doesn't want the ball. Like, he runs away from the ball. He wants to get at the end of things. Does the guy think he's a striker or something? I'm not. Am I missing something for this guy? Like, it's ridiculous. Like, he completes 80% only of his passes. He only passes less than 19 passes a game per 90 minutes, which is really shit. I don't get it. Like, why are you that bad? Why? What happened to you? You were one of the, oh my God, you remember, like, with all the people, like, Inter fans, were like, oh my God, get us Fratesi. Okay, there he is. When he's given minutes, he looks like a mediocre player. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Matt says, Fratesi runs into the box of his strength. Unfortunately, he's no Barella, Miki, or Hakan. Sal, good to see you again. I think the Aslani slander is dumb. He's still young and still has much room for improvement. And also, you see that strike the other day. Yeah, that's great, Sal. But like, the thing is, it's not like he's only gotten 2 or 3 chances. Like, we're seeing the kid get minutes. And I'm going to give credit to Inzaghi for still giving that little bit of faith in him. And I'm still willing to see him do more. I'm not writing him off just yet. But I think as fans, we're more than entitled to say, show us something, please. Because as of right now, we've seen nothing, zero, jack shit. He's had a good shot the other day on target from outside the box when the game was over. So no pressure on him whatsoever. He's playing for Inter. And in some situations now, he may even start for Inter in rotational games. So with all due respect to Aslani, show us something or get loaned out. It's as simple as that. This ain't no charity club. Aslani, in my opinion, should stop trying to be a Brozovic. He should try and keep it simple and improve his defensive aspect. Asking him to be Brozovic is just, it's not going to happen. It's really not going to happen. Let's move on, because I know we're killing a bit of time here, but that's great. Let's talk about the front line. Let's talk about the attack. Let's talk about the firing/misfiring. Mo, it's been a minute since you've been here. The Lautaro criticism, has it ceased for now?
Yeah. Like, listen, the guy has improved. That's changed, actually, the way he plays football.
The way we used to talk about him, he's doing everything, I've noticed, that you and I used to come on here and criticize him for not doing.
Well, the guy is not trying the tough stuff. The guy's passing what he sees in front of him.
Yes.
The guy is putting the ball in the back of the net. He's not missing easy chances. He's moving better. He's not trying to Now his first touch gotten much, much better now. Like, I think, okay, whatever. So I'm not a big fan of Mkhitaryan.
But, I know.
I'm actually not. But it's the best we can get at the moment. Like, I'm not a big fan of him. Physically, the guy is gone, but... But again, he's doing a job, Mkhitaryan. He's doing a good job. Not only a job, he's doing a good job. But for Lautaro, though, like, he's like, you can't just 15 goals in 17 games played. You cannot just fault that. He's doing exactly what he used to do with Lukaku. But the thing about it is that Marcus Thuram is a better player. Right, like Marcus Thuram is running the channels, Lautaro staying central. When Lautaro gets the ball in the middle of the field, puts it under control, passes what he sees, and moves forward. He isn't trying. Okay, Lautaro is not a world beater, in my opinion. Lautaro isn't a guy that will. He's not R9. You know what I mean? He isn't gonna. He's not gonna be Thuram. He's not gonna put a guy in the back on his back and run with him 4 yards. It's not gonna happen, right? So now Lautaro, realizing that, he's just focusing on what he can do best, which is strike the ball very well, moving inside the 18, and including your teammates in the game. And he's brilliant at it, to the point that some of the Premier League fans are like, well, maybe we jumped the gun. Maybe he's very good for our clubs. We can pay 100 million for him. That's the talk, which is strange. But because he doesn't have speed, but he is doing everything else well. So I just can't praise him enough. He's absolutely amazing. 15 goals, 2 assists in 17 games, averaging 1 GA a game is nuts. It's freaking crazy. He's on course to break record. I will try. I will try my best. Anthony, to be honest with you, set up all this. He did all the stream. I'm just here talking.
Like, Arnautović and Alexis Sanchez. A problem going into next year.
This is going to be a not nice rant.
Yes.
Alexis Sanchez.
Disclaimer.
Whoever decided to sign this fucker again for Inter should get sacked. I was on Spaces, and I know people that I respect that said, Alexis Sanchez play good for Marseille. And I said, it's not 2015. Aubameyang scoring goal for Marseille. We aren't a charity club. We should not have signed Alexis Sanchez. The guy should not be playing for Serie A. Serie A is more physical. Serie A has requirements. He isn't good enough to play. He wasn't even good enough 2 years ago. We were crying. We begged him to leave, and he wouldn't leave. And now we're signed him again because we didn't have another option. I would rather promote one of the youngsters. He's absolutely trash. He's rubbish. Shouldn't be playing for Inter. He was a good player 5 years ago, 6 years ago, right? When Man United gave him to us, he did a job, right? He went to Marseille. I don't care if he plays well. Now he's coming to our club. That was absolutely garbage, a trash. Someone should got sacked, and someone got paid under the table again, because this doesn't make any sense. How did a scouting system went to France and said, yes, we are signing Alexis Sanchez, who we let go one year ago. You let go of a guy, you begged the guy to go. This is absolutely not terrible. As for Arnautović, it's ridiculous. Since 2009, I loved the guy at Inter. I loved him. He had everything to be one of the best footballers on the planet, but just he didn't. Talent, athleticism, body, physicality, strike, swagger when he plays. Yes, a lot of it, right? For some reason, it's not working out. I don't know. He's trying the back heels. They aren't coming off. He's trying to shoot. He's hitting his other foot. He's trying to body people. He's falling on his face.
Right. So you still got time and patience for Arnautović.
No, 35 years old. Listen, we aren't banter era anymore. We are title winners 2 years ago. We are Champions League finalists. We aren't a banter era club. I know people talk about the money, but Marcus Thuram is a living proof that it isn't about the money. It's about the laziness of some people higher up. It's about the laziness of the scouting. You can scout free agents. You can scout cheap players like Lautaro. You can scout cheap players like Julian Alvarez. You can scout cheap players like Brighton. It's some people are just lazy. And they were lazy and they decided to sign Arnautovic and Alexis Sanchez. It's not working for Arnautovic. How old is Arnautovic? I believe he's like, what, 34? He's born in 88, if I'm not mistaken, or 89.
He's 34.
What I remember from...
We know both he and Alexis will be gone at the end of the season. I mean,
we might have wasted the season.
I wouldn't even persevere through January with... I mean, I think we're going to have to persevere with, what's his name, Arnautovic. But if there's an opportunity to get rid of Alexis Sanchez, he needs to go in January.
Yeah, of course he needs to go. He needs to absolutely go.
Thank you again, Strasbourg Steve. You're too generous, my bro. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. Would you guys take Brian Mbeumo, considering he's put up big numbers with Ivan Toney in a two up top system? I feel like that would be an excellent move. Players don't usually come from the Premier League and set Serie A on
too expensive
fire.
For us. Imagine that Inter, Champions League finalist and one of the biggest clubs in the world. I'm saying Mbeumo, who is the second striker behind Ivan Toney, is too expensive. Mbeumo will come to Inter, would be like 30 million. Inter wouldn't pay 30 million, and his wage will be high. Inter wouldn't pay him that high. But Mbeumo next to Lautaro, I don't think it will work, Steve. So the reason why, let me put that up again. Mbeumo, if he comes to Inter, he will have to hold bench. He is the best replacement for Lautaro if Lautaro is injured. Lautaro doesn't get injured a lot. So Lautaro actually played 89 games consecutively. So Mbeumo will have to come and sit on the bench, because Mbeumo and Lautaro together might not work, because we see Thuram putting the physicality and Lautaro putting the flair and all the other stuff. I don't think it's going to work, Steve, but I would love Mbeumo at Inter, because Mbeumo is an absolutely phenomenal player. I love the guy. Every time I'm watching the guy, he has everything at his feet. He's very, very good. I don't think you watched him, Anthony, at all, but he's absolutely great. He's a Cameroonian guy.
Not much. Do you think Inter's going to be in the market for anybody else or anybody in January, or do you think anybody leaves?
I stopped looking at the finances of Inter. There is this guy, the guy that plays for that team. Everybody is sharing his picture. I haven't watched the guy. He's a right back, if I'm not mistaken.
Diallo.
I don't think we're going to sell anybody. Sell? I don't think we're going to sell anybody in January. No. Even though he scored a hat-trick on the weekend, but absolutely not. Chris Wood.
I couldn't believe it when I saw him score a hat-trick on the weekend. Now, the only four...
And he scored it good. He scored it amazingly. He's not like scored it like tap-ins or headers. The guy dribbled Dan Byrne and damn.
Yeah, man. I like the Zielinski signing. It literally is a Beppe Marotta one straight out of his dictionary, man. It's a straight out of his dictionary. Offer him a decent wage, 4 million a season. Go from a sinking ship, Napoli, to a sustainable one in your own country. You don't need to uproot your family or your lifestyle. It works on many different levels on the Marotta level there. Mo, bro. Anything else that you want to discuss? Anything you want to refer to? Anything you want to ask me before we wrap up what was a super enjoyable episode 99 of the Inter Worldwide podcast?
No, it's just to be honest with you, I think we need some fans to hold the club to a higher standards. You guys as fans need to wake up sometimes and not accept mediocrity. You need to stand up on Twitter, because the club hears people. Every single fan has a voice. Not accepting mediocrity isn't great. Like, yeah, we're only focusing on the league. Yeah, Alexis Sanchez is good. Yeah, Arnautovic is okay. Klaassen, yeah, who cares? No. A good scouting system will get you the likes of Pavard, the likes of Bissek, the likes of Jan Zoma, the likes of Marcus Thuram, the likes of Hakan Mkhitaryan. You need to stand up. Hold the club to a higher standard.
Were you talking about Diallo before that you've never seen, or Buchanan?
I have no idea who are these people.
Ah, okay, fair enough. So we're heavily linked with Buchanan.
That's a Canadian guy?
The Canadian guy, yeah. The one that started his career more as a forward, but might be adapting a little bit more from Club Bruges. So this is what, like, a lot of people are hyped up on this guy, man. But how do you get hyped up over someone who plays for Club Bruges? It's not like they're playing in the Champions League.
Do you remember the guy that we signed? Austrian guy, right side.
Lazzaro.
Oh my god.
I remember the first time he played for us, the first 15 minutes he played, I looked at him and I just went, this isn't the guy. I know straight away, within 15 minutes, this guy is not the guy. And Conte knew it as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, exactly. Like, I don't know this. Like, I don't watch the Belgium League. Like, listen, I don't. Yeah, yeah. It's, listen, we cannot accept mediocrity, of course, Steve. Like, this is Inter. This is not, with all due respect, it's not Napoli. It's not Lazio. This is Inter. Like, just, we're not Fiorentina, not Roma. So, yeah, anyway. Well, but that's it.
Yeah, thank you to everyone who came into the comments. Thank you especially to the channel members. And thank you especially to Rosemary, Anthony, and Steve, who left super chats for us today. But above all of that, thank you to my brother Mo, who is just doing amazing things. We love you. We're so proud of you. Thank you for coming back home, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely magnificent. Hopefully we can do this at least once a week or something, especially in the coming weeks when you're off. Yep. Or twice a week or something. We do match reactions. That would be great. Absolutely fantastic. So let's do it.
For sure, for sure. And for everyone that lives under a rock, make sure you go and subscribe to Judge Mo. And as always, follow anybody that does Inter content in the English-speaking content world. My name is Anthony. This was Judge Mo. This was Inter Worldwide. Forza Inter. Forza Inter Worldwide. Ciao.